You're listening to the It's Her Time podcast with Cody and Jess. Hi, welcome back to the It's Her Time podcast. I'm Cody Sanders, and I'm a holistic health practitioner and functional nutritionist. And I love empowering women, helping them to understand their bodies better. And I love introducing you to people that can help us understand our bodies even more. And on today's episode, I have a special guest. I have Polly. She is a pelvic floor therapist. And we're going to dive into everything that's happening down there so that we can feel our best. There's so many things that you may be suffering with and you might not even realize that you could use a little help down under. But before we get into this, let's turn the time over and join Jess for a Mixers Girl Say.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation because we did this a few weeks ago and we laughed so much. Then we took some of these and interacted and asked our audience at our live podcast a few weeks ago, some of their moments. And we just have to get back to this because there's nothing more fun than laughing.
It's the best.
It is the best. And so we're going to start today's episode with a Mixers Girl Say, which is, what were your most embarrassing moments from 2023? The thing about being embarrassed is it's like what you make of it.
Yeah.
It's how you shake it off, how you realize everyone has embarrassing, funny things happen to them.
Yes.
And just let it roll off your back.
And laugh.
You and I talk about it all the time. Like laughing it off instead of like shaming yourself that like, how dare I just trip.
Yeah. I know.
So I'm going to share.
Let's go.
This one says, we know her and we love her. I met Cake by Courtney at the Nutcracker. I totally fangirled and completely forgot how to talk.
That happens.
I know.
No matter how cool you are or how cool you think you are.
Sent a flirty text that was meant to go to my husband to our entire family group chat.
Oh, okay. That's better. I mean, that's still funny. But I thought it was going to go to some other guy. I was like, oh no. Oh, but that's just, so funny still.
She says just words, but still humiliating.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Went on a long run with some friends and then ended up peeing my pants at the end in front of a guy that I liked.
Oh. I was going to say, sometimes, you know, after those babies, you're out there running, you know, and it just happens. But the fact that it was in front of a guy that she likes, that's too bad. I'm sorry.
This girl, Courtney, says, I was being prepped for a surgery and I blurted out right before going under, please don't let anyone touch my butt.
It's a concern. It's a concern. Can I share a quick story?
Yeah.
This is my sister's story, but I don't think she listens to the podcast, so I don't think she'll care. Do you have another one? Yeah. I can't wait. Yeah. So my sister was going in for a breast reduction surgery, and she's like getting all ready to go into surgery, and she's being wheeled in, and she's still awake. She's not under the anesthesia, but all of a sudden they come in and they said, do you mind? We have some students that are here that want to observe this. They're like, their doctors to be, you know? Yeah. And so she's like, no, I don't mind at all. And then it was an old boyfriend that was like, psychopaths. He was crazy guy. And he like walks in, he's like, hi, Tori. And she's like, went under.
No.
Poor Tori.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Funny.
Oh.
His name was Tim. So if you knew Tim, that dated Tori.
Tim. Okay. This one, I kind of, when I first read it, I kind of broke out in a sweat a little bit thinking of this. Okay. I had explosive diarrhea at work.
Oh, boy.
While I was trying to run to the bathroom, which is on the other side of the building, I didn't make it to the bathroom and ended up pooping outside.
Oh, it's like on Bryce.
And then she swears, you know, everywhere. I am so sorry. Like, what do you then do?
Have you seen Bridesmaids?
Yeah. That part
where they're trying on wedding dresses.
Yeah.
So funny.
Okay. Yes. We're going to end with this one. Okay. This is like a funny mom one. And I can fully understand this feeling of being like, I'm so sorry. I am not creepy. She said, I grabbed a kid's hand at the park thinking it was my kid and said, time to go. And pulled him towards me. like, ah, stranger danger. Anyway, we just love to laugh with you. Enjoy the episode. Mixers is a company made for women by women. Each of our products have been carefully and lovingly crafted to support you in all stages of your life, providing you with the optimal health you deserve. Each ingredient we handpick is 100% all natural, backed by science, and chosen specifically to better your life physically, mentally, and hormonally. Each product empowers your body to take charge of its monthly hormonal shift and flows, empowering you to live life to the fullest. Let Mixers take care of your needs from sunup to sundown, and you take care of the rest. Check us out at mixers.com. M-I-X-H-E-R-S.
All right, we're into the episode now, so let's just say hi. Tell everybody about you. Tell us a little bit about how you got interested in pelvic floor therapy. Give us all the history.
Well, first off, I'm really excited to be here, and I'm a physical therapist, just like the physical therapist that helps you with your knee pain or back pain.
Okay.
But it was on accident that I ended up in this field. I was able to shadow a women's health physical therapist who was helping women after they had had mastectomies.
Okay.
And cool. It was such a lovely, uplifting experience to watch this sweet therapist work with all these women all day long. And so that's what I thought I was getting myself into. However, I ended up in Louisiana where there was no mastectomy care at this particular clinic, but it was all pelvic floor. And I actually called my mom to ask her to come drive me out of there because I did not want to be doing it. But when I started seeing these women, I remember there was a grandma who wanted to go to Tulane to attend her grandson's medical school graduation. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't because she was leaking. She was going through so many pads that she just couldn't go. She felt like she was going to be an inconvenience. And that broke my heart because I knew that there were answers. I knew that there was a way for her because she should be able to go to her grandson's med school graduation.
Yes. I mean, okay. I have so many questions for you. We're going to dive into so much because I feel like at least the awareness that there's such thing as a pelvic floor therapist, I feel like this is somewhat new. Is this new or has this been around forever? And I just didn't know about it.
It's been around for a while, maybe 20, 23 years.
Okay.
But I think it's getting a lot more headway now because of social media, and we're talking more about postpartum issues and things that can come up.
Which is good. This is why we have these kind of podcasts and these conversations so that we can bring awareness. So when I was going through after having my kids and stuff like that, I mean, I had huge babies, pretty traumatic births, and I never knew that there was such thing as a pelvic floor therapist. And my tailbone has never been the same since I've had these babies, and my babies are 31 and 29. So it's been... I've just been living with it. So I want to first start, of course, with like establishing what is a pelvic floor therapist? What does this even look like? But then, of course, I'm going to have some questions like, is it right for somebody even like me who has grown children, who it's been a long time since I've had, given birth?
I hope I can be succinct on this because I just have so much to say. So first and foremost, the pelvic floor, it's a group of muscles, just like your rotator cuff, just like your quads, your hamstrings. Mm-hmm. I think we forget about it because it's hidden.
Right.
We don't get to see it. We don't think about it when we're exercising. Like, am I exercising my pelvic floor today?
Yeah.
It doesn't come up.
Didn't count your reps for...
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I might be a weirdo and I exercise my pelvic floor on the daily, but not Kegels. Let me be super clear about that.
Okay, that's another question. And I know so many of you have that same question about Kegels. So, continue.
So with that, when someone comes to pelvic floor physical therapy, it looks different for each woman. I also see men as well and kiddos, just depending on what their story is.
Hey.
But
they have pelvises too. That makes sense. I don't know why I was just so shocked about that, but I guess I assumed it was just for women. Okay. Sorry.
Yes. Everyone has a pelvis.
Yes.
Everyone has a pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. So it really just kind of depends. I typically take a look and say, okay, well, what are your symptoms? Are you leaking? Are you having pain? Did you get injured and your back isn't healing like it should, or your hip isn't healing like it should? Then maybe we take a look at that pelvic floor or pelvis to take a look. So there's internal work. There's a lot of external work. I like to think of the pelvis as Grand Central Station because we have over 80 muscles that attach to that pelvis.
Amazing.
Okay. So, and the pelvis is what transfers load. And I won't get too sciencey, I promise.
No, get sciencey. We love it.
But the pelvis is what transfers load. So even though when we go to land on our foot, our pelvis is what decides where that load goes. Does it go up or down? And that's why I like to think about it it as Grand Central Station, because while there might be other tracks and there might be other stations, if you can really fix the biggest area, then it changes what's happening up or down the tracks or with the other trains.
Yeah. So everything's connected, right? Kinetic chain. This is kind of the central station, like you're saying. That makes sense to me. So if you've got something that's happening down, let's say your ankle, doesn't mean that it's not going to affect your shoulder, for instance, right? Everything's connected, but everything kind of meets in the middle at Central Station.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it. I'm following.
So as far as pelvic floor therapy goes, I mean, every therapist, we all have our different, you know, bags of tricks that we like to use. And so I am very manual trained. So I do lots and lots of hands-on and then send you home with a program. So again, pelvic floor, it just looks different for each person depending on what's going on. So
of course, that makes so much sense. Okay. Those you've covered a lot, but I'm sure there's even more like situations and people that you take care of.
Sure.
But I'm sure we'll dive into that as we go along here. So my question was also, if who is pelvic floor therapy for? Is it for some old lady like me? Or like you said, you helped a grandma that wanted to go to her grandson's, you know, graduation. And so tell us, because I think that's something that's a misconception too, that we think is just for like new moms.
Sure. If I had my say, I think every person should go to pelvic floor physical therapy. Okay. While I'm biased, I have just seen it work in so many different situations. So yes, the new mom, she would absolutely benefit because of the changes that happen to her body while she's pregnant. Every delivery is different. And so the effects of that could show up a little bit differently. I love how you brought yourself into this. I think that the postpartum time period ends when you feel like you did before you had kids.
Yeah. So I'm still postpartum then, huh?
Yeah. If you feel that way. So when you talk about your tailbone hurting still, to me, that's your body saying, hey, something's wrong down here. Because if you were to, the way I like to think about it is after you were pregnant and you stood up and maybe every fifth time your knee gave out. Somebody in your life would say, hey, you, Cody, take care of yourself. Like, do you need to go see somebody?
Yeah.
How can we help you? Nobody would assume, oh, well, yeah, you just had a baby. That's how it is.
Yeah.
But for some reason, and I don't know if it's just convenience or maybe it's confusing for some, that the pelvic floor, it gets forgotten.
It does. It does. We just ignore it. That poor pelvic floor. We just totally ignore it. So yeah, it makes sense. I mean, after I had my babies, both my babies were over 10 pounds and my tailbone was broken during delivery of my second child. And I heard it, felt it. It was no fun, no fun. And I have done yoga over the years. And this is how I know that it's never gone back to the same, because when I'm doing yoga, for instance, if I'm in a boat pose, if you can picture that, I have to lean to one side because there is that my bone is like protruding. So is there something, is there any hope that that can ever at this point, or is it just stuck like that forever?
No, it's not. I mean, it'll stay stuck like that if we don't take a look at it, but something like that, it comes to mind. We have three tailbone, well, we have three pelvic floor muscles that attach to the tailbone. And the tailbone actually it side bends. So it goes either side, it rotates and it moves forward and backwards. So if it was broke or your baby bumped into it on its way out, it very well could have moved that tailbone to a different position. And one of the many jobs of the pelvic floor is to help give support and stability to the hip. So when you're saying like, when I'm in that position, there's a reason that there's a discrepancy there is because that pelvic floor, it's either lengthened too much or it's shortened too much for however that tailbone is positioned. So it's not really helping that hip like it's supposed to. And that's why you have to adjust during that.
Polly, I'm loving this and I'm going to make an appointment because I feel like you can help so many things in my area. I'm like, we're going to turn this into a doctor's visit here now. For me personally, because yeah, I used to also be like an endurance athlete and I used to do a lot of like Ironman, triathlon and marathon and things like that. And what ended my, I don't know if I'd call it a career, but what ended that was in 2014, I ended up getting a stress fracture in my hip. And I've always wondered like if it's connected to the tailbone.
Is it the same side?
It's the same side. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. So if you think about that Grand Central Station again, was that, I mean, if hindsight's 2020, we can take some really good guesses here and maybe we're right, but
you don't know unless you get in there, but
it's pretty common that when there's an issue, whether it's pelvic floor wise mm-hmm. or another body part. I had someone reach out to me recently and say, I'm having all this pain with intimacy. I don't know what words I can mm-hmm. say.
You
on
can
here.
Say anything
She's
you want.
She's having
here.
Pain with sex. Yeah. And so mm-hmm. we were talking through it a little bit. And I asked her, because some things were adding up to me. And I said, did you have any ankle issues or hip? I'm sorry. Ankle, hip, or knee issues yeah. in high school, college. And she's like, what? How'd you know? And so same principle, mm-hmm. what's happening down that chain or down the tracks mm-hmm. that, I mean, I don't want to be right for your sake.
No, it's okay.
But maybe that's where it came from. Yeah. Maybe because that pelvic floor is weaker on that side, yeah. it's not helping that hip, which in turn wasn't giving support to that mm-hmm. hip during
So
your-
it's probably like weird overcompensating or whatever, just- you know, overuse injuries, you know, things like that, I'm sure. So it all makes sense to me. I think this Good. Is fascinating. We're going to stop making this about me, but let's get into so many other things too,
okay.
because I know that there's a lot of women that have that write into me often. And I love and appreciate your questions, by the way, girls. Thank you so much for like trusting me with your stories and with the things that you're wondering about. I had a girl that just recently wrote into me and she's in her late 40s, like
okay.
probably that perimenopause about to go into menopause. She didn't say, but okay. she said that all of a sudden she's noticed that she feels like she's leaking all the time, right? And she's like, I don't know why. She's like, I do Kegels all the time. And so I was like, oh, I'm excited to answer this question for her, but with an expert. So tell us kind of, is this something that is normal? Because so many women this age, like start experiencing this.
It's not normal, okay. but it's common.
Okay.
And so I think sometimes we just, it's just really easy to sweep it under the rug.
Right.
And I feel like there could be a lot of different reasons. It could be that her tissues, her pelvic floor, because of the hormone changes, mm-hmm. like you said, you weren't sure. Mm-hmm. Her hormones, because we have a lot of hormone receptors in our vaginal canal and externally, I'm sure you know all yeah. this, but for you listening,
yeah.
we have a ton of hormone receptors down there. And so as we start to move into that perimenopause, mm-hmm. menopause stage, our tissues are not getting those hormones. And so the integrity of the tissues, I don't want to say it's breaking down, but the integrity is yeah. not as good like it was when we were younger. Mm-hmm. And so those muscles are not in a great position to be doing their jobs like they did before.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we should just accept leaking unless you want to. Mm-hmm. But most of us have vibrant, beautiful lives that we should still keep living.
Mm-hmm. So well, it affects so many areas of life, not just like having bladder. I mentioned earlier, it's going to like affect your sex life as well and how you enjoy that as well. There's all of these muscles down there. And you know the saying, like, if you don't use it, you lose it. Well, like what you're talking about, I know with hormonal changes, especially as estrogen starts to diminish, you start to lose your tone, right? Down there. That's something very, very common. But I love that hopefully you can tell us that that's not like, we're not just destined to like never be the same ever again once we hit that phase of life. Is that true? Or do we just need to accept that like things are going to be different for us?
No, you okay. don't. No, Yay. Not. Never ever that you have to accept that you're destined okay. or
yeah.
destined for just living this life of
yeah.
leakage or less enjoyment with sex or what have you.
That's good news.
I think a lot of it is, again, like you talked about, mm-hmm. that if you use it, if you don't use it, you lose it. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that too, I think that women would be surprised how often their pelvic floor is actually working.
Mm.
And the one thing that I have done a lot of studying just to figure out how can I better help my patients? Mm-hmm. How can I help busy moms win at home with less work, but more bang for their buck and their time and their effort is that whatever the hip does or doesn't do, the pelvic floor does or doesn't do. And then when you take a look at the female pelvis, the angles are very different yep. than the male pelvis because we're designed to birth babies.
Right.
But because of that, it changes the way that some of our muscles are oriented just mm-hmm. ever so slightly. And so when you look at programming for women and their exercise, our pelvis needs a lot more lateral, a lot mm-hmm. more side-to-side yep. work, and a lot more diagonal and rotational work, which the pelvic floor is the only group of muscles in the body that has fibers that run in all three planes.
Which is really cool. Mm-hmm. It's getting nerdy. We love it. But that's true. That's true. And what you're saying too, and this can happen for any group of muscles in our body, is that sometimes we can overtrain certain muscles and almost cause them to become too strong. And so you're saying like sometimes there's muscles in our pelvis that maybe we're just contracting more than we even realize. We're using them too much. And then in turn, that's causing maybe there to be like an imbalance, muscular imbalance. And so there might be some weaker muscles too. And I know that like this girl that I was just mentioning that wrote into me, she was saying that she does her Kegels. And so she's, you know, like, what more could I be doing? But I think that's the only thing that we've ever been told to do is do our Kegels. So I love having Dr. Polly here to like to help us understand like what else? What else should we be doing?
Yeah. So I have termed what I like to call the VAB3 principles for the pelvic floor. And because all a Kegel is we're just squeezing that muscle and relaxing. And you're an athlete, so you understand. If you went to a trainer and they said, listen, Cody, you just got to squeeze your quads and relax them. That's all you need to do to prep.
Right.
You would wonder, I'm sorry, I'd like my money back. I need somebody new. And so it's the same principle for everything that the pelvic floor does. And that's where I came up with the VAB3 principles.
Okay.
So it's vertical,
okay,
above the pelvis, below the pelvis, and then all three planes.
Love it.
And all that is how that pelvic floor works. Mm-hmm. So we all know that probably pre-babies, if we would sneeze, ha-choo, pre-baby, we're fine.
Yeah.
Post-baby, if we sneeze a little too hard or we sneeze too many times in a row, we might be crossing our legs. And our pelvic floor is supposed to respond to that downward pressure inside of our abdomen. And so vertical motion is one of the ways that I like, which I know it feels very scary, but it's really helpful in small doses to help that pelvic floor start showing up. Above the pelvis, I just like to keep it simple and say like, put your arm overhead and we can walk you through a couple exercises if you want. Below the pelvis is whatever the hip does or doesn't do, the pelvic floor does or doesn't do. So if we can rope in our legs as part of that, that will help encourage that pelvic floor to work, or we can consider it part of the exercise. And then three, like I've already said, the pelvic floor has muscles or fibers that run in all three planes. And so doing an exercise that has components of all three planes to the front to back, side to side, and then diagonal and rotational. If as long as your exercise that you're doing has two of those four components, you can count that, in my opinion, as a pelvic floor strengthening exercise.
Okay.
So yoga is a great example.
I love yoga.
Hiking is a great example.
Yeah.
Squats is okay, but if you could change it, like if you could reach overhead, like while you're squatting and reach overhead at the same time, now you have B for below and then A because your arm is above the pelvis.
That makes sense. So instead of isolating, you're using multiple planes. And so like you're making it more functional. This is called like functional exercise, right? Is this what you're saying? Okay.
Yes. No, you're exactly right. I think we just like to think that the pelvic floor just, all we got to do is squeeze it and relax it and that's enough. And I know we all know that that's not enough for every other muscle group.
Yeah.
And so to sit down and think about all the things that the pelvic floor does or can do, to squeeze and relax, there's no way that that's enough to help your body do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. Okay. That makes so much sense. So there's actually tons. I mean, to make it simple, the way I'm thinking of it is like, if I was to say, I'm going to do some ab exercises to strengthen my abs. A lot of times we think crunches, like we'll just do a ton of crunches. I used to see this when I was a personal trainer. People just did tons of crunches, but they didn't like realize that actually they were not increasing their core strength. They were just only their rectus abdominis was getting strong. And so we had to do things to like incorporate rotation, and we had to do, you know, like the side, you know, movements and things like that. So we're working all of the different planes of the core muscle. To me, that's more visual because I feel like the muscles that are in our pelvis, we do forget about them. They're tucked in there. We don't really see them. They're hard to get to. If you've ever had a psoas like massage, you guys, that was harder than giving birth. I'm literally, when I used to get them quite often when I was running a lot and when I was dealing with all the hip pain I was suffering with, I would have to do Lamaze breathing. It was like, and I thought I was pretty tough and could handle a lot of pain. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I think maybe this massage therapist had something to prove or something too, because she was like getting in there. But whatever. Is that like part of pelvic floor therapy, is like getting in there? And
it can be. I mean, the psoas is one of the muscles that it's a muscle state, or I'm sorry, a pelvic stabilizer. I like to take a look at all the muscles that attach to the pelvis, or at least the bigger ones anyways, to start. Because the other part of this too is your pelvis moving like it should? Because a lot of us, I mean, we, you know, we talk about the hip, but when we put our hands on our hips, technically that's our pelvis. And so when you run, I mean, I have so many things going through my mind, like, oh, I'd love to see you run and see what's happening. Mm-hmm. But I also think too, that going back to that Grand Central Station theory, how is the bony structure moving? Mm-hmm. Is it stuck? To me, when someone's psoas is so tight and it's painful mm-hmm. and it's contributing to whatever you are experiencing, mm-hmm. that tells me your pelvis, there's something happening there, because when the pelvic stabilizers are mad, mm-hmm. it tells us a lot more mm-hmm. that we need to dive in a little bit deeper and take a look. Is your pelvis aligned? Is your mm-hmm. pelvic floor doing what it was supposed to?
Yeah.
Are your hip muscles, do you have full hip mobility? Is it coming mm-hmm. from up the track somewhere? Is it coming from down the track somewhere? So pelvic floor therapy, again, it looks so different depending mm-hmm. on what you're coming in for. Mm-hmm. A lot of my patients will say, this is not what I saw online. I feel like we're doing a lot of exercise and you're treating me like an athlete, which I think all moms are athletes.
We are all athletes. I love that.
Because if you think about, I know your kids are older mm-hmm. now, but when they were little, when you were walking into the house, you were carrying loads of mm-hmm. groceries, and maybe you had two kids mm-hmm. on the hip, and you're yelling at the dog and then tripping over the spilled bottle that's Olympic training, I think.
It's an Olympic sport, being a mom. Yep.
Yeah. So I think it's just important that we don't neglect our mm-hmm. bodies. And that's why, at least in my clinic anyways, I want each mom to mm-hmm. walk away feeling so much stronger. I want them to feel like they did before they had kids, which mm-hmm. again is why I like to do a deep dive into the pelvis, kind of like mm-hmm. we're talking about with yours.
I mean, we talk about holistic approach to health, and that's exactly what you're talking about too, is looking at all the different things that could be contributing to an imbalance in your pelvic floor. And so I love that you're doing that. And there's not one of us that's going to be exactly like the other. For me, I mean, we've gone into me, this has been my little therapy session, but the sports that I was doing on a regular basis, first of all, I was probably out of alignment because of these births. And then I was doing a lot of hip flexion because I was spending a lot of time on my bike. I was spending a lot of time running and swimming, things like that. So I know that that was an imbalance that I constantly was trying to work through, mm-hmm. but I probably was not doing it as well as I should have been, or with the right guidance probably that I needed. So I think that this is really cool though, that you know how to look at all areas and tailor it to specific people individually. Yeah.
Good. Well, I will say, I hope you don't beat yourself too much up about, because I think you work with what you know, right?
Yeah, totally.
Years ago, when Arnold Kegel came up, Dr. Arnold Kegel, when he was the one who came up with this, that's why they're named after him. I mean, we did what we could with what we knew then, mm-hmm. and now we know so much more. Just like this podcast that you have, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Back when I went to school, we didn't have all this stuff, mm-hmm. and stuff like the research and the holistic approach.
Right.
We weren't talking about that, and so I think sometimes it's okay that maybe mm-hmm. your birth didn't go the way you wanted to, or this athletic experience mm-hmm. or your rehab experience maybe didn't go, but mm-hmm. I just want women to know that we do the best with what we have mm-hmm. and you're in the right place at the right time.
Oh, I love that because I wish I could go back and wish I had this information, but at least I have it now. And that's why we're trying to share this information, because no matter what phase of life you're in, maybe you're like me, or maybe you're somebody that's just a new mom or younger than that. Hopefully this information can set you up for success, so that you don't have to go through this. But what I'm also hearing from you, Polly, is that it's not like there's all hope is lost. Sounds like there's a lot still, even if I have years and years of these imbalanced muscles, happening in my body, that you can probably help me to reverse some of this.
Yeah. I think, again, the pelvic floor, it's a group of muscles, if you injured your shoulder, mm-hmm. you would go into therapy and you'd work on getting stronger, or maybe you'd work with it sounds like you mm-hmm. have that well covered on your own, but somebody listening, you might go in to see somebody for help. You don't think all is lost just because, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I had a baby, so my shoulder's out.
Yeah.
We wouldn't necessarily think that, or maybe we would. I don't know.
I think some people do. That's what I think. I think a lot of people feel like once they are imbalanced or they experience an injury, that's how it is, And I think that a lot of people, and I could get into this with you as well, because I think a lot of people rush into surgeries, and I'm not saying surgeries aren't important or needed, but sometimes there's a lot you can do to either avoid surgery or prepare yourself for surgery and then recover from surgery better. And that includes always physical therapy. For instance, I have shredded my shoulders. You guys, I am just, I have had an injury like at every part of my body. I don't know if that just says that I'm just like a total klutz, probably. I'm also very, used to be very active. I'm still active, but I used to be even more active and maybe just a little dumb. But yeah, so anyhow, but yeah, I mean, I was told that I would need surgery. I went through physical therapy and was it quick? No, it took me 2 years.
Oh,
but I was able to completely rehab the shoulder and get full use back. So, you know, my husband's a skateboarder. He's been able to do this with knees. Never has had to have a knee surgery. He's 55 years old, still skateboarding. So, you know, it's like, there's a lot that you can do when you work with the body and help to support it the way that it's designed. And I love this. And this same thing comes with pelvic floor therapy. So we've talked a little bit about bladder leakage. You know, this is something that I feel like this is a big thing that a lot of women suffer with, and they're kind of embarrassed about it and they don't really want to talk about it. But we're talking about it because, you know, it's not something that just is a given that every woman's going to have to go through this and deal with it, right?
Right.
So, okay. So, but it's common, but not normal. The other thing that we're going to dive into, sorry to take you through all this, but we're going to get into sex because this is something that I think is going to be so important for women to understand too. I bet you get questions all the time because if I'm getting questions, you're for sure getting questions about this. So I'm going to let you dive into this more than I will. But I do get a lot of questions saying that, a variety of things. There's a lot of women, even in their younger years, that sex has never felt the same after they've had children. It's painful. They don't enjoy it, you know, and they just think that that's their lot in life again. You know, like that's just them, that they're just not somebody that's, you know, going to ever have that be an enjoyable part of their life. And then you have women who are in my phase of life where their hormones are depleting and all of a sudden they're experiencing that little vaginal atrophy that we were talking about before. And now sex feels painful in a whole other kind of way. And it feels very disheartening. And I just really want to give all of us, you know, all of us girls in this conversation, just some hope and like some really good takeaways and things that we can do at all of these different phases. And I know that's a big thing to have to cover. And I'm sorry that I'm doing that to you, but okay. I feel confident that you can help us through all of this.
Yeah, I can honestly say I never thought that I would be on anyone's podcast or talking publicly about sex and how to enjoy it. But here we are.
Here we are. We're
welcome in the right
place.
Welcome
to the It's Her Time podcast. This is what we talk about. Yeah.
So you're absolutely right that, a lot of women experience pain with sex, but I also think that, again, kind of going back, that we don't always understand what, you know, what our pelvic floor is supposed to do. So the way I like to think about our pelvic floor, I don't like to think of it as a hammock because that does not make it, it doesn't give credit to it for being so complex. So I like to think of it as a doorway that leads to a hallway that leads to the living room. So that hallway, so that's three layers. The pelvic floor has three different layers.
Okay.
That hallway, that's technically the vagina.
Okay.
So the floor, the ceiling, the right wall, the left wall, that all touches or almost touches at rest, assuming the muscles are happy and healthy. Mm-hmm. And one of the jobs of those muscles is to part ways anytime we insert anything, tampon, finger, penis, speculum, whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when we're having pain with that, just with insertion or pain with thrusting or any part of sex or intimacy, that is our body's way of saying, hey, these muscles aren't happy. Just like if you were running and your calf was cramping up, you would say, okay, I just got to go get this taken care of. My muscle isn't doing what it should. That's all pain with sex is. So especially with penetration, if that's painful, it can be because of vaginal atrophy, that those muscles are, they don't have the oomph or the integrity that they used to have.
Right.
But also, if you have torn or had an episiotomy with any baby, scar tissue sometimes sticks around and it does what I call the Elsa effect. So you know when she does her like, and then like it freezes everything.
Yeah.
I've seen it where once we get that scar tissue freed up, that pelvic floor feels like a 6 week, 8 week, 10 week postpartum pelvic floor. So no wonder you're struggling because it feels like you're having sex at 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks postpartum when that pelvic floor was not healed.
Yeah.
And it didn't, you know, again, it's not doing what it's supposed to do. So whether that's, okay, my pelvic floor isn't doing what it should, or I have scar tissue, those are easily managed.
Okay.
I really wish if I could, my husband heard me talk about this the other day and he said, do you want this going on your tombstone? Like talking about the scar? Yes, because any passerby, I want them to know.
You'd be helping them. Yes. Doing us all a great service. Yes.
Because as soon as that scar is healed, or even now, whoever is listening now, if you have a scar, if you tore, it doesn't matter how long ago it was, I would get in there gently, of course, mm-hmm. and like start working on that scar, going perpendicular mm-hmm. to it, going circles on it, get it moving. Mm-hmm. Because if you can imagine, right, like if you go to insert something mm-hmm. and those tissues are supposed to be soft and mm-hmm. supple and part ways,
they're stiff.
But they can't because
they're scar tissue.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's a very common thing after mm-hmm. babies. Mm-hmm. And then of course, if that pelvic floor was held in that position, mm-hmm. well, it doesn't matter how many Kegels you're doing. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Mm-hmm. That pelvic floor never had a fighting chance because it doesn't have that full motion mm-hmm. to be able to respond to what you're asking it to do. Just like mm-hmm. doing bicep curls. If you just did mini bicep curls, are you ever getting strong?
Not as strong as you could be because you're not engaging every muscle fiber. Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And then even, I think you had mentioned too, even younger gals when they first get married, mm-hmm. The other piece, it's not you. Mm-hmm. It's not you at all. Okay. Our body, research has shown that when we experience negative emotion, fear, anxiousness, if you were like a high performer in school mm-hmm. or you were an athlete and you had a lot of stress upon you, that pelvic floor tightens in response to that. So then when you start having sex for the mm-hmm. first time, yep. you're like, oh my gosh, it's tender and painful because those muscles are just tight. Mm-hmm. And my favorite thing to tell any woman in this position, the first step I would literally tell them is I call it balloon breathing. Mm. It's like diaphragmatic breathing. Okay. It's just calling into awareness that our pelvic floor is having a role as well. So think of having a balloon inside your belly. Mm-hmm. As you go to inhale, that balloon, it's going to start to blow up. The mm-hmm. front of it is going to push on the front of your belly. The sides is going to expand that rib cage. The back of the balloon is going to push into the back of the rib cage. And then of course, mm-hmm. it's going to push downward and that pelvic floor should drop or lengthen.
Yeah.
I'm simplifying it quite a bit, but that's
a good visual. Because I think sometimes we leave out, like we can imagine that breath, that deep breathing where it's diaphragmatic and we're mm-hmm. like, you know, expanding their chest and stall, all of that. But to like visualize whenever you put that attention, you know, to the area of the body that you're trying to, that will help you to be able to like expand through there. And I've never even heard of balloon breathing like this. That's great. That's cool.
Well, I kind of came up
with it. Genius.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You're a genius.
Just called it something different.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. There are a lot of women who, you know, I love that you brought this up because I won't go into it too much here, but there are, and we've talked about it here on this episode, I mean, on this podcast, but there are a lot of emotions that get stored in our pelvis. So if you do want to talk about it more, we can, but I didn't mean to put you on the spot. It's very connected. And it does show up a lot of times for women who are maybe having sex for the first time. They're just new at this, but it also can show up later in life as well. So it's important for us because we experience emotions like our entire life. It never stops there. But if we're not actually like working through the emotions, our body always stores those emotions and it will eventually show up physically if we don't do the work that we're supposed to be doing. And so I think that's fascinating and that I'm so happy to know that you understand that aspect of it too. Because again, going back to holistic approaches, this would be absolutely part of it. We got to work the four different bodies, you know, not just the physical body, right? So, okay. So sorry, I just went on a tangent.
No worries.
But yeah,
no worries.
But I love that you brought that up. Okay, so we're talking about women, you know, maybe having first timers having sex, mm-hmm. uncomfortable. Okay, then let's talk about like maybe the next phase of life would be after having a baby.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing that I really want you to know is I don't think sex should ever be painful. And that's assuming that if you tore or had an episiotomy, that mm-hmm. that's entirely healed. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if that wound is not healed mm-hmm. and you attempt to be intimate, mm-hmm. it's probably going to hurt. And I don't want to say like, oh, it should, like shame on you. But if that wound is still not healed, that might be the only time that I would say, yes, like it could hurt.
Normal to have pain, mm-hmm. but it never should be painful other than obviously for mm-hmm. that reason. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So if you have torn or, you know, you're listening to this and you're like, oh, well, my youngest is 14 mm-hmm. or my youngest is 7, I would still get in there on mm-hmm. that scar and I would still be doing that balloon breathing just because the other thing too is those pelvic floor muscles need to be able to pump out some of that fluid mm-hmm. after mm-hmm. having that baby. And I've seen it where some of that scar tissue actually will kind of hang on to some of that inflammation mm-hmm. where that pelvic floor feels like, I had a gal come in a couple of weeks ago and I think she was 6 or 7 months postpartum, but she felt 6 weeks. just mm-hmm. because her body, because of her scar, it was hanging on to all of that fluid. So the mm-hmm. scar massage can help stimulate your lymph system to mm-hmm. get rid of some of that fluid, to bring in new nutrients and oxygen to help mm-hmm. clean everything up. But also that balloon breathing that mm-hmm. I talked about already, that's going to help lengthen that pelvic floor and again, kind of act as a pump mm-hmm. to get rid of some of that extra fluid that tends to show up. When yeah. you have that
We're
baby.
Never told any of this. So this is fascinating. I think that's so cool. And when you're going in and you're, you know, working on the scar tissue, mm-hmm. are you using like Graston? Are you using manual? Like, are you, how is this? What does this look like?
Just my finger.
Just your finger. Okay.
But if you're at home, yeah. I would use your thumb because you're not Barbie. It's hard to.
Yeah. We don't
silly,
move
but...
like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you could do this self massage, you know, you could even have your partner help you maybe with this mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. They love that, I'm sure. So, okay. So great. I want to make sure we're giving, you know, our audience some actual tools that they can like yeah. do on their own as well. Okay. I'm going to just move on a little bit
okay.
and we're going to go back into menopause because there's something that I think that there's a lot of us that deal with. For instance, I have my grandma, I've got several aunts that have had prolapsed oh. organs, okay? Mm-hmm. And this, of course, terrifies me because I've heard all of the horror stories of stuff that they've had to deal with. Now, my grandma had 7 kids, and so it was kind of like a given to her, she thought, you know, just because. But what I wish she had known, bless her cute little soul, is that it wasn't something that she absolutely had to deal with. Like she would go to the bathroom and everything would come out and she'd have to like put things back into place. I am wondering if I'm destined for that. And if there's something that I, again, this is Cody's session here. if there's something I can do to help prevent that.
I am glad you asked that question. I think sometimes the pain with sex and the leakage kind of mm-hmm. cover it. It kind of just takes away from prolapse, but I do think it's a really important one to talk mm-hmm. about because it is kind of shocking to go to the restroom and you're mm-hmm. like, oh my word, there's everything's coming out. It's a little shocking. And I understand
yeah.
that. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I wished women knew about this, yes, we've talked about the pelvic floor, mm-hmm. but our organs are held up by ligaments. Mm-hmm. And one of my mentors said that every time you have a baby vaginally, that baby kind of takes a souvenir from each of those ligaments, making things a little more loosey-goosey,
okay.
which makes sense, right? Because
yeah.
that baby has to come down. But so, well, I should say, so there's 3 ways in which our organs are held up. When we talk about prolapse, it's bladder, your rectum, your uterus. Sometimes the inside walls of your mm-hmm. vagina can kind of fold in on itself. That can mm-hmm. become a little loosey-goosey as well. But the ligaments is one way that holds up all those organs. The mm-hmm. second way is our pressure system.
Okay.
So when I talked about that balloon breathing a little bit, that mm-hmm. that kind of helps to address some of that. But how we manage our pressure, which our pressure system sometimes gets disrupted with trauma, with chronic pain, pregnancy mm-hmm. is a big way too, mm-hmm. where that pressure system doesn't function like it did. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that it can't return to how it's supposed to.
Okay, that's what I want to hear.
But, and then the third way that our organs are supported is our pelvic floor. I like to think of it as the bottom of a box kind of a thing. We've all moved at some point mm-hmm. in our life and had to lift up a box and the box was not well supported and things started to fall out.
Yeah.
So you talked earlier about surgery. Like I wish, you know, people kind of did their research and tried other things before mm-hmm. they resorted to surgery. I think that too, because mm-hmm. here in this scenario with prolapse, mm-hmm. there's 3 ways in which our organs are supported, but I, or somebody like me, or you, mm-hmm. you have control over 2 of the 3 ways.
Okay.
To fix your ligaments, that particular part of it, that's where surgery would come into play,
okay.
where they would tack everything up. But your sweet aunt, your mm-hmm. grandma, all mm-hmm. your family working on their pressure system, making sure that that pelvic floor is strong, mm-hmm. that's 2 out of 3 ways that mm-hmm. you can really make an impact with. Mm-hmm. And then you had even asked too, I didn't want to neglect your question, is this something that I have to deal with? Sometimes genetics can play mm-hmm. a role. It's always hard to say.
Yeah.
Just because your level of collagen that your mm-hmm. body makes very well might match what your aunt mm-hmm. did or your grandma did or... Mm-hmm. Forgive me if I missed a family member.
No, you did. Okay. You nailed it all. Thank you. I appreciate that. Such good information because I feel like sometimes, you know, we're dealing with all this stuff or we know that we have a family history of things and it like terrifies us and we don't know always where to look for help or if help is even in existence. And so I think this is so helpful. I know. Yeah. That's so great. What are some of the things, other things that maybe we haven't even mentioned yet that you see, you know, in your practice?
I see a lot of women coming in being worried about diastasis or diastasis recti. That's a really big one.
Sorry. I'm like, I'm surprised. Is that something that a pelvic floor therapist helps with? Okay.
Yeah. Cause it plays a role. I think, when you dive into the research, I think a lot of people like to present the core and the pelvic floor as one. They work together.
Got it.
They don't.
Oh, they don't. Okay. I'm like, yes. Nope, they don't. Okay.
Sometimes I'll turn on at the same time, but a lot of the latest research that's coming out, it's saying otherwise, that sometimes they'll turn on opposite of each other. That being said, though, having diastasis is not a problem. I think it gets a lot of bad rap. Like, you need to heal your diastasis and you need to fix this. But really, yes, it is a separation of those muscles from their original attachment. But I think where people, sometimes I see women blame like their poochy stomach on their diastasis. Well, if you look at where their diastasis is, typically that separation, it can be higher. It's not always correlated to that. A lot of it is just, the lower section of their rectus muscle just kind of went dormant while they were pregnant. They weren't working on their pressure system.
Just and all stretched to bits. Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's a reason that women will come in, but really just getting those muscles strong. Like you talked about, like that functional training with the core, not just sit-ups, but doing a lot of twisting and rotation because being a mom, you're an Olympic athlete, as far as I'm concerned. And so
that's true.
To be able to train for that and make sure that you're strong, I think it's absolutely possible, just like our pelvic floor, but to have strong core and abdominal muscles, despite having diastasis. I don't think it's a correlation on that front.
That's interesting. I know a lot of people go in for surgery for that, and it maybe is more for cosmetic reasons is what you're saying than it is for actual functional reasons.
You know, I wish that more mamas got to go in and have a consult with somebody like me just to see. I think a lot of women think, oh, well, I have diastasis. I need to go in. Yeah. But I've seen the flip side of it. And I'm not saying you should have it or not have it. I want to support mamas, whatever they think is best for them. But I also see the flip side where women are struggling with their pressure system. It sometimes can create problems because everything is so tight that can almost disrupt the pressure system as well, because the plastic surgeon's job is to go there and stretch everything up, which they do a great job, but the belly doesn't have that expansion, and that's part of our breath. And that's part of, I mean, I don't know how sciencey you want to get, but that also goes into the nervous system. So earlier, maybe to kind of tie this together, when I was talking about the balloon breathing, a lot of my patients whose pelvic floors are very tight, unfortunately, it can be related back to trauma, a lot of times sexual trauma, but even others as well. And the interesting thing is when our body flips over into that fight or flight, we no longer become a diaphragmatic breather. We become a chest breather, right? Like just very shallow breaths. So we can run, we can fight, we can do whatever we need to. And the interesting thing that I have seen with our nervous systems is when we move over into that phase, our pelvic floor ends up not getting the pressure that it was supposed to. And so that's where that pelvic floor can become tight, not because the pelvic floor is problematic in itself, but because of all the other systems, how it plays into the pelvic floor. It's not there giving it the input that it needs. And so the theme that I see a lot is, and I feel like I talk about the nervous system more than I ever imagined, but it plays such a big role on that front to ensure that that we have some time in rest and digest.
Yes.
Because especially after baby, right? Like we need to be able to heal. That allows our milk to come in and for letdown to happen so we can nurse. But if we're kind of in this panicked position, whether that's we had a traumatic birth or even
just stressed out from being a new mom.
Right. Yeah. Right. Not having our guts being able to like move and such, I don't want to say it triggers our fight or flight system to be on, but it definitely
does. No, it does. It does, because you're in shallow breath, which is a signal to your brain that you are in danger. And so it all makes so much sense. I love talking about the nervous system. I think it's so fascinating. Okay. It's very connected to hormone health as well. I mean, it's everything is connected. And so that makes so much sense. You know, when things aren't functioning in the way that they're designed to, our body will always sense that, oh, there must be something that I should be afraid of or that I'm stressed out about or whatever. And it's interesting because it's hard sometimes to get people to reverse out of that state and mm-hmm. back into that rest, digest, and heal state. And so that's what you're teaching people to do. And then you're also mm-hmm. manually helping a little bit too, but like helping them to like learn how to get into that balloon breath.
Right.
And there's so much more that that balloon breath does more than just helping, you know, our pelvis, it's helping our whole nervous system as well. Fascinating. Yeah. I love that.
So to tie that back, just because I'm really good at going off on tangents.
Me too. Okay. I love it.
So what I've seen in a lot of my patients that have seen me years down the road past their tummy tuck or mm-hmm. abdominoplasty is that they can't get that full breath because everything is literally like so tight. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen lots of autoimmune stuff come up after that. They have pelvic floor issues. They have difficulty pooping or with constipation because again, their guts are not getting that pressure, going back to that pressure system again mm-hmm. and that nervous system. Like you said, you know, everything is going hand in hand. It just gets, it becomes disrupted. And so do I wish that I could have a crack at mamas before they have surgery and after surgery? Mm-hmm. Yes, 1,000,000%. But I also know that it's hard and it's hard to have, you know, find time to fit everything in.
Yeah.
But it would be very interesting to me to see what that would look like. Because again, I just see the flip side of it where mm-hmm. women are struggling 10, 15, 20 mm-hmm. years down the road. And they'll say, yes, a lot of my issues had started. Lots of women will be fine, of course. But I also think it's just important to consider that our tissues and our body are designed to move. Not that I mean, I don't know how to do a tummy tuck. I wouldn't even know. Yeah. But and yes, the job is to stitch mm-hmm. it up. But movement is necessary for good, healthy tissue and good body function.
No, this is such good information. And I wish that this was information that was given to every woman, you know, before getting pregnant, after or while they're pregnant, because I think, you know, a lot of us, like after we've had our children, then we do the mommy makeover and we don't even realize like what that could be setting us up for. I get that it can help people feel like, you know, more confident in their body. And that's, I'm not against it at all, but like, that's why we're like, knowledge is power. Understanding this stuff is so important because, you know, you can either set yourself up better in other ways mm-hmm. or, you know, let's hopefully like say somebody had a tummy tuck or mm-hmm. they had a mommy makeover or whatever. Is all lost again? Is this something where it's like, because what do they do at this point? If everything's been kind of turned off and they're like in this little sympathetic nervous system state, right. Like what is it? What can they do?
I would go back to that balloon breath. I think that mm-hmm. a lot of women underestimate, even my own patients, that they will leave and come back and say, oh my gosh, all the, and you know, and list all the change. And they're like, you're amazing. No, mm-hmm. your body is amazing. Your body mm-hmm. is the one that did that. So the balloon breath is still where I would send someone to go. Mm-hmm. And then if they did come in to see me, we would do a lot of manual work, lots of hands-on. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites lately is dry needling with electrical stimulation. If you look into neuromodulation, there's some really cool research behind that right now. And that also helps turn on our rest and digest system mm-hmm. too, which is really amazing. Cool to watch in women, see them kind of go from like, panic just to,
isn't that cool?
I can breathe so deeply and I don't feel so heavy or, you know, like with just like the weight on your chest or able to take that deep breath. So
there's
lots of different things. I mean, to kind of like, you know, come back a little bit, the body is really resilient and all the workings, you probably know this better than I do, all the workings, it's really amazing that more doesn't go wrong.
I know. Isn't that the truth? I know. That's so true. Yes.
So I think sometimes we forget that the body can do a lot more. Mm-hmm. We kind of just have to get out of the way because it knows what to do. We just kind of have to coax it a little bit or maybe take a step back.
Mm. I love that. I love that because truer words couldn't have been said. I mean, that's so true. Sometimes we do get in our own way, but it's so helpful to have this information. And I love that you have several different modalities of things that you do to help, but that your focus is to help like support the body in doing what it's designed to do first. Mm-hmm. And you're tapping into things that help the body to like get into that healthy parasympathetic nervous state. And all of this is so great. I love this. Okay. I know we've been on here for a long time. I do have a couple more questions because I just remembered a question that just came in. Mm-hmm. So I have somebody that wrote into me. I have a lot of women that are, you know, are experiencing, this is again, I'm going back to sex, girls. Okay. This is your questions. This is what you're really wanting. They have been looking for what is out there to help to like make sex more enjoyable for them. Are there tools? This is what I'm asking. Are there some tools that you recommend? Because for instance, like I know I'm aware of like the jade weight. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, mm-hmm.
What do you think of the jade weight? What does that?
I will always say if something works for you,
yeah,
run with it.
Okay.
I also like to come at it from I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old and I am busy. And so the thought of having to find some time where I can go pull my pants down, insert that, do what I got to do with that, have time to clean it without my children coming. There's no way that's ever happening unless it's at midnight, which I'm not doing. So if that works for somebody, great. Again, it goes back to that pelvic floor. It does a lot more than what we think it can.
Yeah.
And so using those VAB3 principles to strengthen, which half the time when I'm strengthening my pelvic floor, I'm doing stuff with my kids. We do a lot of dancing at our house.
Love
and
it.
So if I'm holding one of my little one, I'll go up and down just with my hands holding him so that he, like that's above the pelvis and I'm jumping around. So there's
functional.
The V. So I think, again, we maybe sometimes just don't realize we're actually strengthening our pelvic floor in a lot of the things that we're doing already. As far as other tools, I think a lot of women neglect foreplay. Years ago, I saw a video that showed, it was like one of those like cartoon diagrams. It showed the hallway or the vagina as it, like as foreplay was happening. And like, it really was incredible how that entire, it just morphed into something. I don't even know how to explain it.
Yeah.
It just was so phenomenal. It was back in the, I had a flip phone, like, you know, those, there's no way I was going to get that recorded, but I think foreplay, it really sets our body up to do what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And women just need longer. I think we neglect, I have two toddlers, like just, do I get 20 minutes of foreplay? Not all the time. Because we're like, okay, hurry. Like, I think they're asleep.
They're
going to
interrupt me at any moment. Yeah.
Right. So I think that
guess what? That happens when your kids are grown too. And it's even worse when they're older. They know what's going on in there. So.
Yeah. So I think foreplay is a really underutilized tool. Mm-hmm. I never imagined I would say this, but I have recently discovered that whether it's a tummy tuck, I've had a lot of patients lately, myself included, that after a C-section, I've had two C-sections, or again, that tummy tuck. Recently, I think it was about 2 years ago, they discovered this new anatomical finding where there was like this ligament fascia that it started up higher and it ran all the way down to our clitoris.
Interesting.
And so I remember when that came up, my question was, okay, so what about the mamas, myself included, where that scar tissue, or maybe it was disrupted with an abdominal surgery or a tummy tuck.
Yeah.
Is that clitoris getting the stimulation that it should, or is it kind of like bound up because of that scar tissue? And so I think maybe having permission, if you feel comfortable with it, if your spouse feels comfortable with it, using a vibrator, because maybe your clitoris is not quite getting the signals that it should.
Yeah.
I think that's a very underutilized tool. Not that it has to like mean anything different, but if someone is struggling to have an orgasm, it's a suggestion I often bring up because we're not thinking, how are my nerve endings working in my clitoris today?
Yeah.
I'm the weirdo that thinks about this. Like, oh yeah,
my C-section. We love that you're thinking about this and putting these, connecting these dots because like who would have ever thought about that? Like that's incredible.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a newer one, but it's something that I have seen a lot of women come in and say, the question I get asked a lot is, okay, I'm pretty sure there's something wrong with me because we're in the middle of it and I feel like everything is doing what it should. And then it's like someone turns off the lights and it's over. Like I had no chance. Like everything was going perfect and then it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that comes back to our pelvic floor and or is there something disrupting maybe the function of our clitoris, tummy tuck, C-section, abdominal surgery, trauma to the belly, where maybe that clitoris doesn't get the movement that it should.
Fascinating. I am learning so much here. This is so important. So yeah, I just think keep our minds open about a lot of these things. Know that there are tools that are out there that can help support us. And there are experts out there who think about these things. Like we don't think about them. We didn't even know we should be thinking about them, but they are studying this. They understand it in and out and they can help us to be able to understand it better when it comes to our own bodies. And so important for us to take care of this important part of our body as women. This is kind of like, it's where a lot of our vital, you know, like female organs are, you know, resting. And there's a lot going on down there. And if we can make this area of our body, obviously we want to make our entire body healthy, but if we can really optimize this area of our body, we're doing ourselves a huge favor as women. And we're setting ourselves up for lifelong enjoyment of all of the things that are pleasurable in our life. And so if any of this sounded familiar, you're like, yep, that's me. I've gone through this, or I have experienced that and I didn't know what that was, or, you know, or I could improve this area of my life, I'm going to encourage you to reach out to a pelvic floor therapist like Dr. Polly and talk to somebody. Is there a way, is there like a network? How can, if people don't live here locally, how can they find somebody like you?
There is a website. It's called pelvicrehab.com. Okay. And you can go in and plug. I've taken a lot of my continuing education courses through this particular company, and they've set up a directory all mm-hmm. over the country. And so that would be a really good place to start.
Oh, that is super helpful. So yeah, thank you. So yeah, look into this. I know I'm going to set my appointment. Never thought that I needed this at this point in my life, but you better believe it, as I'm entering into menopause and I want the rest of my life, I want to enjoy sex. I want to feel great. I don't want to be peeing my pants and having to wear special pads and all of the things if I can help it. And it sounds like I can. So if you're with me, let's go. Let's get our pelvic floor therapist, have her be on our health team, and let's support her health. Let's be our best health advocate. So, all right. How can people connect with you personally?
My website is Beyond the V by Polly, PAULI.com.
I like the way you spell that, by the way. Oh, that's really cute. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. My website is a really great place. I have some free resources on there. You can message me, email me. I have a Your Pelvic Floor's Next Step form. If you want to fill out, I'm happy to give you Your Pelvic Floor's Next Step. I'll take the time and respond back to you with that. And Instagram's always a good way too, but
yeah. Okay. Well, we'll make sure all of the ways that you can connect with her are in our show notes. So if you don't go to our show notes, make sure you do so that you know how to find Polly. And, you know, we always have a lot of great information in there as well, and other links that could be useful for you. So thank you so much for being a guest on today's show.
Of course.
So fascinating. I learned so much from you.
Good.
We love it. You know, knowledge is power, girls. And the more we know, the better we can take care of ourselves and the ones that we love. So if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with the girls in your life, because sharing is caring. All right. Until next time, I hope you guys have a very happy and healthy week. Bye.